There's a story about a driver who placed a note under the windshield wiper of his illegally parked car, which read, "I've circled the block for 20 minutes. I'm late for an appointment. And if I don't park here, I'll lose my job. Forgive us our trespasses." And when he came back, he found a parking ticket and a note from a policeman. The note said, "I've circled the block for 20 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is forgiveness. You know, we see forgiveness in the news. We hear about it all the time, how we need to forgive those who do atrocious acts, and it's hard. It's hard to forgive when we see some of the terrible things that are going on in the world today. So this morning, I want us to consider God's forgiveness for us and our forgiveness for others. So let's first consider God's forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses. Now, just as we need daily food, we need daily forgiveness. There was a visiting minister who was asked to fill in at a church while the regular pastor was away, and he was looking through the church bulletin, and he noticed that in the bulletin that they prayed the Lord's Prayer, and it just said the Lord's Prayer. And he didn't want to make a mistake, so he asked one of the elders in the church, "Are you debtors or are you trespassers?" We see in Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, the word debts is used, or debtors. And Luke uses the word trespassers. They're really very similar words, but they have slightly different meanings. When we hear the word trespass, we think of going where we're not supposed to be, as in what you see on signs that say, "Trespassers will be prosecuted." And when we're tempted to sin, we should say, "Let's not go there." And as followers of Christ, we want to live lawfully. And the Greek word for trespass means to slip or to fall. And there are times when we fall into sin and we violate God's law. A Sunday school teacher asked her young children's class one time, "What must you first do before you can be forgiven?" And a child spoke up quickly and said, "Sin." You know, the word debt is used a lot of times to refer to a monetary debt. And often it can mean a moral debt, too. We owe God our obedience, and we can't deliver on that. We're spiritually bankrupt. And on the cross, Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe, because we have a debt that we can't pay. We're all sinners, and we all need forgiveness. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, not one." And the cross of Christ represents the cost of our forgiveness. The most essential and the most difficult thing that God ever did was to provide forgiveness of our sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. And forgiveness, as human beings, is our greatest need. And on that cross, our debt is stamped, paid in full. The charges against us have been dismissed. We've heard it said, to err is human, to forgive divine. And some of us might like to think that God is obligated to forgive each and every one of us. But the truth is, He forgives those who confess their sins and ask to be forgiven. And the problem with that is, many people do not think of themselves as sinners. They simply aren't sorry for the things they've done. Some people are overwhelmed by unresolved guilt, while others with callous conscience could stand to experience a little guilt. And you might ask the question, how come some people struggle so with guilt? It might be because they're guilty. Our fallen human nature oftentimes minimizes the need for forgiveness. If we look in the book of Psalms, we see a description of the typical unbeliever. It says, there is no fear of God before His eyes. They don't worry about their sins. They don't accept the fact that sin offends God. And the gravity of sin is diminished by denying the moral absolutes. If there's no right or wrong, then anything is permissible, and there's no need to be forgiven. Our culture tends to be a culture that calls evil good and good evil. And worldliness is what makes sin look normal and righteousness seem odd. There's a popular way of apologizing today. I hear it a lot among young people. And it's a way of apologizing without admitting to one's guilt. And he goes something like this, if you feel I've done something wrong, please excuse me. So instead of confessing sin, people claim that I've merely made a mistake. And we see it in our courts. Sometimes people plead no contest. But when it comes to God, there are no excuses. All we can do is plead for mercy. Sin has eternal consequences. The prophet Habakkuk exclaims, God's eyes are too pure to look on evil. He cannot tolerate wrong. All sin must be punished. And it was upon the cross. Forgiveness is the removal of our guilt. In Isaiah, God declares this, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. So now let us consider our forgiveness. In our scripture, we see as we forgive those who trespass against us. We have an obligation to extend forgiveness to others. People who are unforgiving cannot understand or accept the forgiveness that God offers. Anyone who's not willing to forgive another has not experienced God's forgiveness. When we refuse to forgive others, we're in a sense asking God not to forgive us. And there are many people who refuse to forgive. They harbor resentment. They hold grudges. And victims can become bitter, wishing only to get even. A crime victim once said this, "If you could lick my heart, it would poison you." I see people who many times say, "I forgive, but I will never forget." When I hear this, I do something unexpected. And many of you heard me say this. I urge that person to never forget. I want them to remember. I tell them, I want you to remember. I want you to remember the hurt. And every time you remember the offense and feel hurt, I want you to remember your forgiveness. Amnesia isn't the goal in forgiveness. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them." We're able to forgive not because we're such nice people, not because we feel like forgiving. We forgive because we've been set free. Forgiveness breaks the power of the past. When people say, "I can't forgive," what they really mean is, "I won't forgive." A European author tells in a book about a man who borrowed some money and took 2 years to pay it back. The angry lender said to the man, "No, keep the money. It's not worth changing my opinion of you." Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a clear choice, an intentional, conscious decision. And the first person who gains from forgiveness is the person who does the forgiving. There are benefits to offering forgiveness. When we hold a grudge, we often are enslaved by our animosity toward others. Forgiveness frees us. It leads to emotional healing, even if there's never reconciliation. When we refuse to forgive, we become prisoners of those who have hurt us. And by forgiving, we let go of our resentment. The Hebrew word to forgive means to have hatred in one's fist and to release it. The first thing we do in forgiving is to surrender our right to get even with the person who's wronged us. Forgiveness stops the ongoing cycle of repaying vengeance with vengeance. Unresolved pain is a result of unwillingness to forgive. People who refuse to forgive have been wounded, and they keep on reopening that wound. And when we forgive, there's a scar, but there's no more pain. If Jesus had insisted on his right, and if he gave us all what we deserved, there would have never been a cross. What if Jesus dealt with us the way we deal with others? It can be very risky business to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Do we really want Jesus to be as forgiving as we are? How can we have the nerve to ask forgiveness if we're unwilling to offer it to others? Being unwilling to forgive is like destroying a bridge we will need to cross ourselves. A mark of true Christianity, of genuine faith, is the ability to forgive. Hayden Robinson writes it this way: those who live in the relief of God's pardon find it easier to forgive those who offend them. And why would he say that? Because we have received mercy. We are part of the forgiven fellowship. And God generously holds out forgiveness to all of us. I want to end with what the Apostle John writes about this. John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. And this, my friends, is our assurance of pardon. Amen.